Hallelujah. Verse 1 says this, there is therefore, now. Say now.
Now.
Not tomorrow. And when you get in, when you get there, you arrive. Therefore there is now no condemnation to those who are in Christ Jesus. How many saved here tonight? Is everyone saved? You all know Jesus. I mean, if you're not, I'll get you saved right now. I can just get you saved right away. Everyone saved? This applies to you now. Okay? You're in Christ Jesus. There is no condemnation to you. You're not condemned. Done deal. You don't have to keep doing something over and over to make it to be so. It's a done deal. If you feel condemnation, if you take condemnation, the only way that it can affect you is by the next thing. Watch what it says. Who do not walk according to the flesh, but according to the Spirit. For the law of the Spirit of life in Christ Jesus made me free from the law of sin and death. So in other words, if I get in the flesh, the only way that I can be condemned and feel condemnation and let it do something with me is if I'm in the flesh, not in the Spirit. Anytime I'm in the Spirit and I understand it and I live in the life of the Spirit, no condemnation can rest on me. Isn't that liberating? That's freedom, praise God. So what do I need to do? I need to stay in the Spirit. All it goes to say, stay in the Spirit that you won't fulfill the lust of the flesh. To stay in the Spirit means this, that I recognize the Spirit in me and upon me, and now I don't do the lust of the flesh because the Spirit's with me. I live by the Spirit. I've got the Spirit. Does it mean I'm tempted? Not tempted? No, it doesn't mean you're not tempted. Jesus was in the Spirit on the day of temptation in the wilderness. He was tempted. It doesn't say that he was out of the Spirit. It says he didn't yield to temptation. Why? Because he knew who he was. Listen, if you begin to recognize who you are, those sin things that you keep having visiting you and you keep going through those cycles and that stuff and over again you're attracted to this and attracted to that and just like you hate it, I can't stand it, I wish I could just get broke free of this, this is just hurting me so bad, I just feel so ashamed, I feel so condemned, I feel this and I feel that, if I could just have this broken and all that, it's because she's not recognizing who you are. You sin if you don't believe you're holy. I don't have to tell you you're holy. He said you're holy. I'm looking at holiness in this house. I'm looking at holy people in this church. I'm looking at righteous people in this church. I'm looking at saints in this church. Well, I don't feel like a saint. Well, it's not up to you to feel like one. It's up to you to believe like one. Amen. Just believe what he said about you. Receive what he says about you and act accordingly. Amen. Does holy ever lie? Holy don't lie, does it? So if I'm feeling I'm going to fix to tell a big tall one, whoop, that's not me because holy don't lie. That must be some from somewhere else, because holy don't lie. Huh? Fixing to get after some woman, some guy just looking and staring at some gal and lusting after her. You said, is holy lust? Holy don't lust. So you say, that's not me. I've got a covenant with me eyes. They're holy unto the Lord, amen? That's not me. I'm holy. Amen. That's what we do. We start an operation like that. We start saying, that's not me. That means being, the true definition is called being dead to sin and alive unto God through Christ Jesus. dead to sin. In other words, you say, that's not me. They died. So basically, that has nothing in me. Sin has nothing in me. I'm holy. I'm holy. Say this. It's going to be hard for y'all to say it. I know. I want you to say this with me. I am holy.
I am holy.
And when I see some of you just barely whisper it out, you're afraid God might hear you say that. Say it again. I'm going to train you here. Say, I am holy. Say it like you mean it. I am holy. God is well pleased with that. God's well pleased when you say what He says about you. He never says nothing else about you. He never says no different about you. No, He doesn't ever say nothing but holy. You're holy. Holy. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. I'm holy. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Holiness. Holiness. What long for? Holiness is what I need. Or quit longing for it and just be it. If you're not holy, if you're saved and you're not, if you don't see yourself holy, it's not God's fault. It's your fault. When He went ahead and did everything for you, I mean, you might as well take place in it. You might as well take your part in the holy train. Amen. Jump on board. Ride the train of holiness. Amen. Not the long black train. The train of holiness. Amen.
Amen.
Hop on board. The train of holiness. I hope this is not too deep for you. I'm a simple man. Amen. Ronnie Van Zant and Gary Rushington wrote that song about me. Amen. Simple man. Just believe what God says about you. He says, you're holy. I'm holy. We're holy. Just liberating. Just cuts away from a whole lot of preaching that people do. It's like they're just wasting their breath saying all that, keeping people in bondage to all this stuff. It's the legalism they're laying on them and laws and rules on these people. He's wanting them to be holy and you're trying to beat them into it, hammer them into it, and they feel like dogs in your service. They walk out of the place feeling worse than when they come. I used to go to church like that. I used to be scared to go to church on Sunday because I know I was going to have to drag myself out at the end of it and crawl into the car and feel like a dog when I was leaving. I'm never going to make it. Why do I even come and take this abuse Sunday after Sunday? I'm never going to make it. I still go to church like that. Praise God, because I just didn't know who it was. Amen. I still really didn't know what He thought of me. And so that makes some preachers mad, makes some ministries mad when you start saying stuff like that. Because then they're saying, well, what are we supposed to preach? Well, preach the good stuff that they need. Amen. The gospel. Gospel. Start with the gospel. That's always good. Amen. That's a great start because you've not heard gospel yet from you, not heard no good news yet. You're bad news. You're the bad news ministries. I mean, so many of them just bad news ministries. That's why you never see no signs and wonders that follow. The reincarnation of Ezekiel, or the reincarnation of this prophet or that prophet, and they come to judge the nations and hammer you in the head and beat you down. I mean, it's crazy, isn't it? I'm just crazy, some of that stuff. Just ridiculous. So God wants to liberate us from those things so that we can do the exploits as His people. And we're not fearing when we go to pray for somebody or go to give somebody a word or go to minister and do something. And all of a sudden, you know, if you feel like, oh, I'm not worthy of this, get over it. Get over the unworthiness, because none are. But God said you are. He imputed it to you. He puts it on you. Amen. That's like the anointing. When God, some of you should get in touch tonight with the anointing. And I bet you committed a sin today. How could the Holy One touch you if you couldn't done sin? Because of the blood of Jesus. Without the blood of Jesus, God couldn't touch nary one of us. He'd all explode coming to his presence. I mean, they used to tie the rope around the priest's leg when he'd walked in there. When they heard them bells quit jingling out, they pulled him because he got knocked dead. He wasn't purified. Amen. But now Jesus, he just cut that two and that thing in two. He made a way into the Holy of Holies for you and I. Amen. It's only by the blood of Jesus that you and I can be touched by God. In fact, the thing is, a lot of people say, oh, God gave us access to all things. But guess what? The blood of Jesus gave him access to you. Because all things come through the Son. Nothing goes to the Father except through Jesus. No one can come to God the Father except through Jesus. And Jesus done all the stuff for you. Jesus made the way for you. Jesus fixed it up for you. All of us, He's done fixed us up. We're now holy because of Jesus. Thank you, Jesus, for making me holy. Thank you, Jesus, for doing that for me. You're the greatest, Jesus. You're it. That you made me holy. Hallelujah. And he says this, and he says he seals it with his Spirit. In other words, the Spirit is the earnest or the down payment of what he's got in heaven. And it's the Spirit that keeps you until the day that you walk out of this world into that one. He seals you until the day of redemption. The Spirit. See, not only does he make you holy, not only does he impute righteousness to you, but then he also empowers you to make it to that day. He puts his mark on you and his seal. The word seal means it's a presidential, royal seal. Like if you put a letter, official document has a seal on it. And they pour the like liquid stuff on the seal of the letter and then put their stamp on it. And when they did, if no one could open that but the one who was had authority to open that seal. Wax, hot wax. I just thought it was bubble gum or something. But it's hot wax, and so you're sealed until the day of redemption by the Spirit of God. How do you know that you're His? It's because of the witness of the Spirit on you. That's how you know. You know how I knew I was saved for sure? Like when I first got saved, you know how I really knew I was saved? First day I sinned after I saved. After I saved, when I sinned, I knew I was saved. You know why? It just bothered me. Something inside of me, hey, man, this wasn't right. I mean, the other day, before I was saved, I could do it. You know, I could lay down and go to sleep at night. I could care less. It didn't bother me a bit. I had no conviction of sin. I had no thing about worrying about sin. Something happened to me. Now I can't sin and enjoy it. I'm loved of God. He touched my life. He made it. It's not fun. It's not fun to sin. Sin is death. And your life, you're made life now. So life has no operation with the works of darkness. So I felt alien to sin. It was like taking a bad pill. Amen. Smoking bad weed laced with something. I mean, it just don't sit with you. You can't do it. It don't work for you. The most miserable thing on the face of the earth is a child of God who lives, doesn't realize who they are and continues and tries to do sin and just get, and it's just the most miserable place to live out of the will of God. And you're just miserable. Just miserable. Because you ain't part of them no more, and you just don't feel right with the other bunch. See, that's because the Holy Spirit's in you now. The Holy Spirit bears witness that we are His. That's how you quit sinning. That crucifies your flesh. You don't have power to crucify your own flesh. I don't care how much you fast. I don't care. I mean, you can get some strength and stuff like that, but you, the power to crucify your flesh comes from the Holy Ghost. That's it. The only way you're going to have the victory in your life, acting it out, operating it, is the empowerment of the Spirit of God upon you. And you realize that you're not this no more, and so you start living that way. Just all right. I feel like maybe I'm making some of you uneasy. Just really preaching the gospel, basically 101, the gospel. It's called 101. And so most of the stuff people preach is not the gospel. I don't know where they get it from, but it's not the Word of God. Amen. How soon can God use you? If you say you sinned and you asked Him to forgive you, I mean, is there like a period of time before you can, you know, go do something for God again? Or, I mean, what's the period of time? How long does it take if you say, oh, I just sinned and Lord, forgive me? It's like maybe you should beat yourself up for a while before you can do something. Is there like a time period? I mean, if there is, it's your law, not His. If He saves you from sin and He forgives you of sin, does that mean, you know, well, you've got to jump through these, you've got to do these certain things? How long does it take to restore? I'm just going to ask you this question. How long does it take to restore a minister if he's fallen? Some say 60 days, three a year. How long does it take? Well, the person may have had consequences for what they've done, of course, and they got to work through that. But could God use that guy again? Would God use him? I mean, is he still God? So could God use him again? I'm not okay in it, by the way. I'm not okay in it here. Listen to me. I'm just saying, when we get in these arenas like this, we need to understand how God works. How about Peter? Y'all remember Peter? Yeah, he was pretty, as far as a minister, I don't know anybody who, I don't know any preacher friends of mine or any ministers who's ever even denied in front of people that they were a Christian or even knew Jesus in public would deny it. Not once, but three times. And the last time they would deny it, cussing. And Peter cussed him. So, I mean, I think on the scale, that's a pretty bad one. As far as you get knocked off your high horse, you're not going to minister for me. And then on the resurrection, Jesus said to an ex-prostitute who discovered him, first one to lay eyes on him was an ex-prostitute, the risen Lord. By the way, He didn't pick some of the best ones. He picked an ex-prostitute to reveal Himself to and say, here I am. I'm risen from the dead. He says, go, you get the disciples, get them all, and Peter. The gifts and the calling of God without penance. They're irrevocable. Can I do damage to myself and my destiny and my people and my friends? But yes, I can. But as far as God's concerned, I can be used of Him. Peter was the first guy to ever preach the first river meeting ever. 3,000 people got saved. And just, what, a month and a half before that? He was running and hiding, saying, I don't even know the man. Before all these witnesses. But the Lord had His hand on him. Something happened to him. There was an empowerment come on him in that upper room. And Peter all of a sudden got a vision and believed who he was. And he stood up. In fact, I believe this. Don't record it to be so in the scriptures, but I do believe in that crowd of that 3,000 people was some of the same ones that 2 months or month, a half month before he denied in front of and shouted and said, I don't even know him. And here he was preaching the first river meeting ever. People got drunk in the Holy Ghost. They got wiped out in the spirit. 3,000 souls saved in one meeting. He formerly quit his ministry, walked away from the ministry, walked away from God, his Father, walked away from his call, walked away from his purpose, walked away from his promise, and went back to fishing. And said, oh, it's done for me. God said, no, nothing's done for you because I chose you. I'm preaching to somebody in here. And you may have went through a divorce, or you may have went through a bad time, or you may have done something, or you may get caught up in something, or something might have happened to you. I'm here to tell you that you don't have to walk the rest of your life hanging your head down low because you failed God. Because he says, you cannot fail me. I am in you. I am in you. I am in you. I'm in you. So can you be restored? Should you be restored? And would you be restored? It's all up to you. That he ain't left you. He has not left you. He has not left you. I see people suffering because the denominations treat them like dirt, like they're second-class citizens because they lost a marriage or they had a divorce or something like that. Most anointed, powerful, God-loving, Holy Ghost people, and they tell them, you'll never be a minister in our denomination. How stupid. How stupid. God doesn't have no throwaways. I'm one. He ain't throwed me away. He's not throwed me away. Amen. I'm just giving you the love of God here. I'm confirming you and loving on you because God loves you and he cares about you. And there's nothing you've done, been through, messed up, turned the wrong way. I said, oh, I've been out of the will of God. I don't know how long it's going to take me to get back in the will of God. Instantaneously, you can get in the will of God. Just say, yes, Lord. All of a sudden, you're back where you was. Some people say, oh, I've got to find the road back. You know, you can be walking another road, not on the road in the call of God. You can be 10,000 miles away from it and walking on this road. And you say, I'm so far gone. How am I ever going to get back? All of a sudden, God, he just takes and changes the road. He clears away the bushes and the trees and brings the road over to you. And he says, oh, you're not off of it now. You're back on it. Well, I thought I had to go all the way back to the beginning. No, you don't. Here's the road. Get on it now. Let's go. He'll bring the road to you. Amen. Because he loves us. He's good to us. Amen. And I'm not talking against no accountability and all those kind of things. You know, some people hear messages like this and they say, oh, he just thinks he can do anything he wants. No, I don't think that. You will live with me for a while and walk with me and see my family and see my walk with God. And you know, I probably hold myself to a greater thing than most people do. You probably think I'm real free, and I am free. But I'm free in the love of God, but also I'm a very disciplined man. You know? What you may be able to get away with and do, I don't. I can't. I don't. I know my flesh is no good thing. I know it's in me. No good thing is in me. I could never be a sipping saint. As some are. Some say, yeah, you want to have wine for communion? I said, yeah, I'll do grape juice is good for me. Thank you. Well, they had wine. I said, well, you know, not for me. I took the vow of a Nazarite. No razor comes to my head, nor do I drink wine and strong drink. That's me. But does it make God love me any more than he does you say that you do? Some people do, and they, you know, they're good with it. Does it make him love me more than he loves you? Not at all. You got to work out your own salvation with fear and trembling. I'm working mine, you work yours. Amen? You know, I can tell you this, just on that subject, I don't know how we got there, but I can tell you this, that if you're in the ministry of deliverance and you're trying to rescue addicts and alcoholics and people that's had history of addictions and drug abuse, and you yourself are a partaker, you're not going to have no power to help them. Amen. You may be able to take a few drinks and a toddy every once in a while, but they can't where they're at. And if you divulge in it and you hang in it, guess what? It'll get you too. You got to watch it. Amen. Hallelujah. You got to watch it. I must be talking to somebody in here that's having that battle. It's like pain pills. I'm very careful of them things. They make me feel too good. I don't want to take them. So there's got to be something wrong with this that makes me feel that good. Thinking about the old days, taking them things. But I've discovered there's no high like the Most High. Amen. Praise God. Well, hallelujah. I feel like praying for people. I reckon it's about time to begin to pray for people. Amen. This message help you. Praise God. Say it again with me. I am holy. I am the righteousness of God in Christ Jesus. I am loved and accepted. I am the object of His affection. He chose me, and I didn't choose Him. He chose me before the foundation of the world. So how could I have any choice in the matter? So I'm saved by grace through faith. And the grace of God shall keep me. And I will walk in the faith that I preach. And I will live by the faith that I preach. Amen. So if you want there's two epitaphs I ask you to write on my headstone. Anybody ever have anything you want to write on my headstone? But you know, and I'll go. There's two things. There's no high like the Most High. There's one. The next one was, I'm rich. I was, always have been. He lived by the faith that he preached. That's all you got to say. None of the beloved husband, beloved dad, grandpa, none of that. There was no high like the Most High, and he lived by the faith he preached. Amen? Simple statement, simple thing, simple truth. That'll keep you. Amen? Praise God.